And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Hundreds of hours of audios from Southeast Native Radio are now archived on the internet and available for anyone to listen to. The program broadcast over KTOO in Juneau for 16 years, from 1985 to 2001. The volunteer-produced show played as a current affairs at the time, but 21 years later, it's become a window into the lives of people and events that shaped Native culture in the region over the last century. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Long before podcasts were a thing, people were talking, sharing ideas and stories over public radio. And there are few shows with a track record like Southeast Native Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Southeast Native Radio. My name is Kathy Colcourse Ruddy. This evening we'll be discussing the Battle of Sitka in 1804. And with me in the studio is Andy Hope, the nephew of Kiksati Survival March organizer Herb Hope, and Dick and Nora Danhauer of the Sealaska Heritage Foundation, who are at work on a book about the Battle of Sitka in 1804.
If that sounds like something you'd like to listen to, you're in luck. The catalog of recordings is lengthy and populated with names that make it a who's who of Southeast Native culture at the turn of the 21st century. Nora Marks Downhauer, for example, was a leading Tlingit language scholar and historian, as well as Alaska's poet laureate. She died in 2017, but her words are now just a click away. Here, she's talking about the oral history sources she used in researching the Battle of Sitka from a Tlingit perspective.
Well, I guess what the difference would be is that they're from the people of the other side. The Europeans battled the native people who were on the beach fighting them back.
The Southeast Native Radio Archive is available through the Sealaska Heritage Institute, which received the donated cassette tapes, reel-to-reels, and CDs from KTOO in 2010. In all, there are 400 recordings. Even the most seemingly mundane shows are abuzz with history, because the people represent a generational bridge to an even deeper past. This is Roy Paratovich, husband of Elizabeth Paratovich, yes, that Elizabeth Paratovich, talking about the first of five times he was elected Grand President of the Alaska Native Brotherhood.
When you're young, you do a lot of foolish things.
Was this 1929?
No, this is in 39.
39, okay.
And so I told the group, I said, if we are going to build up this A&B, we're going to have to do it big. Pride is going to help us. Not knowing some screwball would nominate me for Grand President, so I got elected.
Paratovich died in 1989, a year after this appearance on Southeast Native Radio. And there's basketball, which is a large thread in the cultural fabric of Southeast Alaska. One of the stars of the annual gold medal tournament was Sitkan Herb Didrikson. He told Southeast Native Radio that the Sitka team had to catch a ride on a seine boat each March for the trip to Juneau.
I was the last one to get on, but as I started to put my gear up in the top bunk, I found this old man was laying up there already. He kind of got on board a little early. And no one knew that he was there, so he was kind of a stowaway, you know? So we figured, well, the old fellow wants to go and see some games. And we all couldn't sleep at the same time. There was always a bunk open for us, so.
A contemporary of his, Gil Truitt, played gold medal basketball through 1952. But Truitt's involvement continued for many years as the coach of the Sitka A&B team. He said the game had changed in that time.
To me, what is more noticeable is the attitudes that I see on the floor compared to when we were playing. If you complained when we played and you're on the floor, the crowd wouldn't stand for it. They'd let you know that they were unhappy with your attitude.
Is that right?
I think that's the biggest change I see in the times we played and today.
Truitt died in 2020 at the age of 93. In its publicity, the Sealaska Heritage Institute refers to the archive as a treasure trove, and that's not far off. The recordings include a 13-part series produced in 1986 on the history of the A&B. There are also a number of Tlingit language segments, with fluent speakers like Downhauer and Walter Sobolev conversing on a range of subjects. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And you can find a link to the Southeast Native Radio Archive on kcaw.org. And there's a new pilot around town in Bethel. Her name is Delana Fox, and she's one of the world's first female Yupik commercial pilots. KYUK's Olivia Eberts flew with her during her second week on the job.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's roll.
Pacific Rough on the roll there, too.
Pilot Delana Fox is flying a silver and blue-striped Cessna 207 to Tuntutuliak. At 26 years old, Fox is at least a decade younger than her plane. It's the end of Fox's first two-week shift as a commercial pilot. She says the first 10 days have been exhausting, but interesting.
Lots of learning, and very challenging, in a good way.
Fox grew up mostly in Kipnuk, and a little in Quigilingok and Bethel, too. That meant lots of flying back and forth between villages. The first time Fox remembers actually being excited by the idea of flying was in middle school, when she flew with a female pilot for the first time. It sparked the idea that maybe she could fly, too.
That's kind of like where it felt real, like it's achievable, you know?
Only about 6% of professional American pilots are women. At regional airline Grant Aviation, where Fox works, only 5 of their 60 pilots are female, and only 5 are Yupik.
She's the first that I can think of.
That's Delina's uncle, Andy Fox. Like Delina, Andy works for Grant. He's worked for them on and off for 49 years.
Are you proud?
Why wouldn't I be? Yeah, sure am.
Fox is the first female Yupik pilot to work for Grant. But there's been at least one other female Yupik commercial pilot before her. Lindsay Jean LaRue flew commercially in the YK Delta from 2007 to 2010. Fox first worked near airplanes before pursuing her dream of flying them. She worked for a few years at Raven, selling airplane tickets. Then, during the first year of the pandemic, Raven went bankrupt and she lost her job. That was the final push she needed.
And then I was like, well, I'm just going to go for it. So I did. I moved to Anchorage and I went to flight training.
Less than 2 years later, she had her private pilot's license, her instructor's certification, and her commercial pilot's license. On the way to Tuntutuliak, we chat about how the job has been.
Have you gotten to fly to Kipnuk?
Yeah, that was my first village, actually.
That's so magical.
It was.
When she flew to her home village, her family said lots of people came to greet her at the plane. Once we land in Tuntutuliak, Fox wastes no time in unloading her cargo. She passes each box to the gate agent, a man with a four-wheeler. There's a box with a grocery store sheet cake and another with blue cupcakes. It's someone's birthday in Tuntutuliak. The gate agent swaps the cargo for passengers, a girl and her mom. Fox greets them and takes their luggage. While they board the plane, the dad who's dropped them off, Andrew Frank, says it's incredible to have a pilot in the YK Delta who can communicate Yuktun with them.
It's always very impressive and make us a very proud that we see native pilots and elders that don't know how to speak English can always talk to them.
Fox is speaking Yuktun and flying locals around the YK Delta has been her dream since middle school. But she didn't always think that dream could be a reality.
For me personally, it was really hard to even just leave Bethel to go to flight training and to go to school and to do something that I never saw as a successful goal. And I want more people to know that doing what they want to do is actually very achievable.
Helping people learn how to fly without leaving Bethel is the reason she got her instructor certificate. According to Grant Aviation, when there was a local flight school in Bethel, there were more pilots from the YK Delta. Now, Fox is one of the only ones. As far as what's next for Fox, she may move on to bigger aircraft one day. But for now, she's content to fly in her home region.
I feel like everything I have on the ground dissipates. Keeping the plane in the air, that's all I have to care for, you know. So everything else, like all my problems or all my things I need to do in life, is left on the ground when I take off.
Left side Delta, cross one left side Delta behind Cherokee, 7 Victor Alpha, taxi via Charlie.
In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
And as for the weather, it's currently 67 degrees and sunny. This is KTOO.